Josh, the narrator, would you say he's the most normal member of his family?
I guess he's kind of the classic observer in the family, that he's surrounded by people that have more personality and more skills and more, you know, just bigger than life characters. And I've kind of always identified with the person who's observing and is actually the one who can chronicle what's actually taken place in time. And I kind of played that role in my family to some degree. I've got I'm the only one, in my opinion, who can be trusted for a historical account of my family whatsoever.
Give me a quick rundown of who the family members are and what's crazy about them.
Well, the grandfather is perhaps most like the narrator in that he's a sane guy who designs and builds sailboats and has a love for the boats and has a love for keeping the family together and just likes to build boats for common people. You know, he's not crazy about the way that it's become a sport for the super rich. The father is a Olympic medalist in sailing and is a hard driving, you know, sailing is the bar by which the whole family is living all the time, and he's constantly trying to improve the family business by being more competitive on the water, drills the kids with all the sailing info growing up. The mother, she is a scientist, she's a physics teacher, and she's obsessed in her own way, but not so much about sailing, but as going about trying to understand the world either through astronomy or physics or whatever, and has an intensity about her, obviously, in trying to solve unsolvable math problems. And then the three kids, you got Bernard, the oldest one, who is just a rebel at heart and can't wait to rebel against the domineering father and get as far away from him as he can. And then you have Ruby, the one who all the sailing wisdom and gifts and whatever that has been distilled through this family shows up in her, and she turns her back on it, which kind of helps trigger the splitting of the family, all of which is narrated by Josh, going back and forth in time, the milder middle child who just wants to fix boats and help people and pull things back together.
He doesn't want to just fix boats. He also kind of wants to fix his family.
Yes, correct. He wants to fix his family. He's trying to find love online, and he's trying to do a lot.
Ruby, I've only met a few people like this in my life, but you don't forget them. Kind of ethereal.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of person I was trying to capture with her. And, you know, people that just kind of seem to, you know, walk lightly on the earth, and could do things that weren't quite explainable. You know, that they just somehow seem to stretch reality, and a lot of those people don't seem to, you know, stay alive all that long. You know, it's almost like they're short for their time here. And so yeah, I was after all that, as well as kind of the child prodigy. We usually focus on their math or their music skills, but you know, why not a sailor? Why not just this remarkably intuitive sailor who could figure out where the wind was going better than everybody else?
Yeah, she can just the rest of the family is looking at waves and
right.
and trying to figure it. She just knows.
Well, and I've sailed with people that are just a league above, you know, a couple leagues above what I can sail well, but I can't anticipate the pattern of wind shifts and know which side of the course to be on or where to be to catch the next gust. And if you get them to try to explain it, they really can't. It's much more of an intuitive thing.
Poor Josh gets a message from his father saying, I'm bringing you a boat. You are going to make the boat ready. And we as a family are going to win a race.
Yeah.
Considering they're barely even speaking to each other.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, all of them are. I mean, they're
right.
All...
Scattered. Yeah. That's the assignment from the first chapter on, that Josh has to transform this old family boat that they designed and make it competitive against modern sailboats, which is kind of an impossible task and also unethical if they don't report the changes to the boat to the race officials, because these are all handicap races, all of which is weighing on Josh. But at the same time, he does see this possibility that the entire family could get together for a reunion race on the boat, and so that's a strong motivator.
It's both a really good idea and one of the worst ideas ever.
I liked having a I liked having them in a compact space like that. All their differences, all their realizations, all their secrets, it was going to come spilling out. If it was going to come spilling out, that was the perfect place for it. At least so I felt. And then combining that energy and that momentum with the ebb and flow of a race with wildly fluctuating wind speeds was all kind of thrilling to write. I was so looking forward to getting to that chapter in my mind, you know, to actually write that scene. It was all kind of exhilarating right there, at least for me.
The book is dedicated to your father. So the question I have to ask is, did Dad like it?
Ah, yeah, Dad is coming up on 90 years old, and he's read it, I think, 3 or 4 times now. And
wow.
he's a big reader, and his recall isn't as strong as it was, but he still picks up more every read through, and he sees the bits and pieces from my youth and so on. And he sees himself in there in glimpses, but he's enjoyed it. My sister's fully embraced it. And
does your family still get together periodically and go out and have a family sail with your dad?
Yeah, definitely. So when my dad turns 90, we're going to take him sailing on that day. My wife and daughter and sister will be out there. So, yeah.
Wow, that'll be a blast.
Yeah, it should be.
The book is Before the Wind, a novel. I've been speaking with the author, Jim Lynch, and Before the Wind, published by Broad Street Books.